Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Wednesday, August 14th, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com and on social media. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. You can also drop us an email anytime. Our address is Steve Jones, one word, stevejones@wkok.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Just looking at the podcast numbers this week, very, very good. Thank you so much. We appreciate it very, very much. But if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. You'll find us when you search Steve Jones Show, and then hit that subscribe button. And then that's all you need to do. We send the shows right to your smartphone or tablet. And you can also go back in time and archive our access. You can access the archive, at least 3 months worth of previous shows on our homepage at stevejonesshow.com.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the military uses them when they capture prisoners.
Shh. Ancient Chinese secret.
We have
a Calgon commercial back in the day.
Yes, we have a contract with the Department of Defense nobody knows about. It's great to have you with us. Ah, boy. All right, so Charlie Manuel's back. And we're going to be talking with a writer from the Washington Post about that today.
The outstanding Dave Shinen, terrific Major League Baseball writer.
We're going to talk with him coming up today about that and more. Tomorrow we're going to have, we're going to go back to the world of Pro Football Focus tomorrow. We were going to start our Pro Football Focus weekly segments, which are usually going to be, you know, it'll be Thursday, Friday, it doesn't matter which one. We weren't going to start doing that until the opening week of the season, but now you keep looking at the articles they're writing in Pro Football Focus, and a lot of them have Penn State information in there. So since they do, we're going to go in that direction. So we'll have that on. Next week, we begin our high school football roundtable. Now, I don't know if someone who's made this massive transition to management is going to be available for his segment or not.
Well, we may have an on-again, off-again. I have reached out to the chief, Dave Ritchie. And depending on his availability late afternoon, there may be some Thursdays where he is game managing Shikellamy soccer. So those days, we'll bring in Kevin. And other days, we'll shoot to bring in the chief. So we'll give you a little Braves balance between both guys throughout the season.
Well, we can just bring on Frilazzo every week. I mean, even in not doing the games, he'd still give us really good perspective.
Yeah.
Boy, that season he did, wasn't he good?
Stellar. Crushed it.
Did not even apply for an award. He was just like, just did it for the love of it.
Like someone else I know.
In it for the awards. But yeah, that's next week.
I'm still having trouble wrapping my brain around this, but I know you are rip-roaring and ready to go for Penn State football. I know for not just you, there's lots of people that just can't wait for football to get rolling.
Yeah, well, next week will be week zero. There'll be two games. One will be in the Citrus Bowl with Florida taking on Miami. The other one will be at Aloha Stadium where Hawaii takes on Arizona. And the I believe the Florida-Miami game is an ESPN-ABC game, one of the two, both, I'm not sure, whatever. And I believe Arizona-Hawaii is on CBS Sports Net next week. Penn State is in a very interesting position right now. And this, to me, I've always felt that this was the critical time in camp. You're about a week and a half in. But this, it happens in basketball, and you've heard me talk about this in basketball all the time. And in basketball, how often have you heard me in that term break? Finals are over. You don't start class again until the first week of January. How often have you heard me talk about, quote, the basketball-only situation? Now, there are challenges to it, but the basketball-only situation. You don't have to worry about going to class. You don't have to worry about taking a test. You don't have to worry as much about, you know, quote, your time management and your balance between class and whatever. At that point, for 2.5 weeks, you're a, quote, basketball player.
I know you brought that up quite a bit over the years with Nathan Davis when he's joined us throughout the last couple seasons at Bucknell. And even with hearing the Bucknell basketball broadcast with Doug Birdsong on postgame, I remember he had a conversation early December last year with Nate Sestina, where all of them were just looking forward to that two-plus-year break. But, of course, they really had something to look forward to since they played in Hawaii last year, right before at Christmas time.
Well, this happens in football. And for Penn State, now is that time. The last class for the summer session was Friday. Commencement ceremonies took place Saturday. They don't have a class again until the 26th. So there's not another class for 12 more days. There'll be a move-in weekend, but at that point you're transitioning in your move-in weekend into getting into your, quote, game week routine. So the next 7 or 8 days, to me, are critical to the development of this football team. Why? Because this is a football-only situation for the next 10 days. The next 10 days is a football-only situation. So this is the time where you can dedicate and allocate your time to watch as much video as possible. Make sure you've got a handle on everything the coaches are imparting to you. Take a long look at what you're doing technique-wise. Take a long look as to where you need to improve. Take a long look as to where you feel you're on the right track. Talk with your coaches as often as you can. Then you go out and you go to work. And then, guess what? Get rest and get ready for the next day, because you don't have to. After working hard in classes all summer, most of them take both 6-week sessions now. After working classes all summer, you now can dedicate yourself for at least these 10 days to just being a football player. That's why I think this is a critical time in the preseason for Penn State. It's also that time where you're about a week and a half in, a little bit of fatigue sets in. But for the, and I'll tell you right now what program. Now, this program has, this program that I'm about to talk about had a massive advantage for years based on their clock, because they had the quarter system. Ohio State, now they've since changed. They've since changed. But there was a period of, 15, 20 years. Where they were on the quarter system, and guess what? They didn't start their classes until like the third week of September. They were football only for weeks. It always benefited them. I always felt like they gave them a huge leg up on everybody because the timing was perfect. Now they've had to switch. I mean, they had to go to semesters. But they were on the quarter system for a long time. So for Penn State, the critical time of development in the preseason, they're in it right now. They got it started yesterday, It was their first practice. Well, I mean, they scrimmaged on Sunday. But the first weekday that they practiced without having to have a class. They wouldn't have had a class on Sunday anyway. Critical time for development. I believe for high school football, they've got a scrimmage this weekend, right?
That's right. Correct? Yep. Bulk of the teams will have their scrimmages either Friday night or like a 10 a.m. Saturday kind of deal.
Well, and that I believe if you take a moment and talk to high school football coaches, with the season moving up to the third week of August, in this case, August 23rd, I think if you were to ask most coaches, I think the part that bothers them is they lose that second scrimmage. Is that fair?
More than fair, sure.
I think they'd love to have that second scrimmage. And I wonder how much that affects the opening couple of weeks of the season because you don't have the second scrimmage.
Well, and you've brought this up, too. You've mentioned this for the college level and the NFL level. What do we see the first couple of weeks of the season?
Can't tackle. Nobody can tackle.
Exactly. So what are your thoughts on that for the high school level now that there was only one scrimmage?
Same thing. I think at least you have the scrimmage, so at least you do get in tackling against somebody else. Believe it or not, that at least helps. They have more tackling in than the college kids do because you don't scrimmage anybody in the preseason except yourself. Now, they do have scrimmages against each other. They scrimmaged over the weekend, obviously. They've still got another one coming up. But that is the tackling part. The NFL, I mean, you go to an NFL. When's the last time you went to an NFL training camp? Because I know you've been.
Last for me was 3 years ago. Went to La Trobe.
You probably didn't see much tackling when you went, did you?
No. And that was actually that midweek when we were there. It was a combined spring training practice or training camp practice, not just the Steelers, but also the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions were in town. Yeah, it was that Thursday night or Friday night they were facing off with each other at Heinz Field, so the Lions decided to come in early and do at least two practices out at La Trobe.
Yeah, which is fine. That's valuable.
Yeah.
But the tackling part of it, and what's interesting about the preseason is that, they have preseason games, except a lot of the starters don't play. You're trying to null out roster spots 38 to 45. You're not trying to null out roster spots 1 to 37. You already feel good about those. So, I mean, the tackling part's the part that, you know, that just gets lost in the wash all the time. And you can't help it. Do you want people, tackling, belting each other in the preseason. I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep not just injuries, but especially concussions at a minimum. That's for the NFL, it's built now into the collective bargaining agreement as to how much you can and can't hit. And we've talked about the Big 12. The Big 12, once the season gets going, the Big 12, I believe, allows you only to hit twice in a week. And the second one is the game. As the season goes, you want to hit less and less in practice anyway. And that goes back, way back to, as far as I can remember, you always taper down as the season goes along. This point will taper down and take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You know what the rumor is for that game, don't you?
What's that?
It's going to be an emotional pregame speech. The Rudy of Danville, suit light, will... while Dad is sitting up in the broadcast booth drawing his paychecks because of Shikellamy football, Suit Light will be downstairs delivering the emotional Rudy type speech, right? Essentially backstabbing the family.
I could have sworn when Suit Light texts Suit, the sound you hear from Suit's iPhone is Rudy. Yes?
That was the background.
It's just a rumor. I didn't say it was fact. It's just something that crossed. I mean, it's one of those incredible father earning money for family member crossing father. It's just thought I'd pass it along. Yeah. I hope it's not true. I hope there's some unity there.
More than ever before.
Well, it doesn't sound it based on the rumor I have.
I'm just waiting to get official confirmation, and so far I'm getting silence to my immediate right.
Again, I'm telling you, Shikellamy's going in there, and guess what? Suit Light, Danville grad.
That's right. No matter where he goes, no matter what he does, he is forever an Ironman.
Suit Light.
He's forever Suit Light. Suit Light.
He's forever. Go out, take care of business. Do it like Rudy. Meanwhile, upstairs, touchdown, Shikellamy. Yeah. All I know is one of them will be walking home.
Allegedly a teammate of Suit Light in a huddle. Don't know what game it was. Was it
senior year?
No.
Was it practice?
It was at the final banquet.
Oh, the football banquet. More than one player said to Suit Light, we should have called you Rudy. That would have been better, though, if they would have said that to him in the huddle during a game. That would have been... Not in the game. Well, but the moments he did play.
Yeah.
I'm trying to spin this as positive as best I can for you, Kevin.
I mean, let's just be factual. Rudy was offside. All right, so...
and Suit Light was with the band and not in the locker room at halftime. That's another story.
Okay. No offense. That's not a good sign.
Correct him.
No. You can go out. What? But he's engaged to be married, by the way.
That's right. He's out kicking his coverage.
Oh, big time.
And an amen to that from Pops.
Absolutely. Wait till Pops has to pay for part of it. There are enough Shikellamy games in the year.
Why is Kevin doing wrestling with Steve? What's
Why is the reception at the playroom at McDonald's? All right, so always a better way of putting it. We're going to talk about Charlie Manuel's return to the Phillies as hitting coach. We're going to do that at 4:06. Wow. I think it's awesome that he's back. You know, it gives somebody in the dugout with a little bit of baseball sense that doesn't try to outthink the problem.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We want to talk about a wide variety of great products. Incredible sales staff. They'll work with you. And an outstanding service department. They have it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. The comments of Bill Cowher about Antonio Brown. Now, remember, Bill Cowher never did coach Antonio Brown. He had retired 4 years before Brown became a Pittsburgh Steeler. But he made some interesting comments. He said, quote, "We know too much about Antonio Brown." And I thought these were really important comments. Brown, of course, has dominated the headlines with stories about his mysterious absences from Raiders camp, frostbitten feet, helmets, things like that. Cowher said, "I think we know too much about Antonio Brown," during an interview with CBS Sports HQ. "I think too much was made out of his trade from Pittsburgh. I think every time he does something, he's a guy that likes attention. Really, I think when you talk about his play in the field, he's a very good receiver. And I think in today's transparent world, social media, he likes to see his name in the media. He likes the attention. I think if you're coaching a guy like that, you kind of just hope he doesn't become a distraction from the standpoint of saying something to the opponents. If he's on your team, let him do his thing as long as he's out there and producing as he's paid to do." Cowher, though, didn't hesitate with his answer when asked why the receiver position seems to be one that creates the most self-centered football players. Cowher, "Fantasy football. I think fantasy football has made that position and has created a kind of selfishness and a way for us to judge players. It's hard for them not to look at that. And then when you talk about a team sport, I think when you talk about a team sport, yet we're talking about individuals wanting to have specific numbers. I think fantasy football has made that position a lot more, I would say, divisive for a team from the standpoint of they're looked upon a bit differently than offensive linemen or defensive linemen or any other position besides quarterback, running backs, obviously, because they do get touches. So I think fantasy football has created some of an individual sport when it's in reality a team sport." So what do you think of that? What do you think of that? I think there's some merit to that. And again, this is not, please do not for a second think that this is an anti-fantasy football deal. It's not. It is not that. And please don't think I'm saying that, because I'm not. Fantasy football is fun. Fantasy football, I think, gets people more involved in watching games. And the interesting part is I think they watch games longer because of fantasy football. You want to see if your guys produce numbers for you to take over first place or move from fifth to third or whatever it may be. I think that part's fun and it's enjoyable. What he's saying is that the offshoot of that is the players themselves are taking it too seriously.
That's just an interesting perspective from a former Steelers head coach talking about a former Steelers wide receiver. And you know, you've only had three Steelers head coaches since 1969, just that and the fact that Cowher, you know, left before Antonio came to Pittsburgh.
Well, let's take a guy who would not have great fantasy numbers, yet was a terrific player. Hines Ward. Now, he coached Hines Ward. Hines Ward played the game with an incredible unselfishness. He'd catch passes. He'd make plays. If you needed him to throw the ball, he'd throw it. And Hines Ward was a fabulous blocker. The player whose game today is comparable to that of Hines Ward in some ways
is probably and he's a better receiver than Hines Ward, is Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald is a phenomenal blocker, the consummate team guy. I mean, when have you ever seen Larry Fitzgerald do the me thing?
That would be never.
Right, exactly. Never.
There's got to be one guy. You think of one guy on that team that's thankful that Larry Fitzgerald is there for sure is Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, two guys, and Cliff Kingsbury, too.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury would be the other guy. But he's also an example to the other receivers as to how to conduct yourself as a professional. I don't doubt that when he decides to show up, Antonio Brown's a hard worker. But again, he also quit on his team in week 17, and for that, I'm sorry, I can't buy into that. Antonio Brown is obviously a terrific receiver, and I think he's a really good football player. But football is an absolute team game. It's amazing that in sports, sometimes because the individual has become so important to how team sports are promoted these days. LeBron and the Lakers take on Steph Curry and Golden State. Where the names on the marquee are the individuals, then the teams are mentioned. And obviously, sports need stars. There's no getting around it. It's like anything. You have stars in movies. Hey, wait a minute. It's going to be what Tom Cruise is starring in. What, you know, it may be Mission Impossible. Now 7 will be the next one. Maybe Mission Impossible, but Cruise is a star. He does get you to at least consider, gets you to consider the possibility that maybe you should watch it. DiCaprio might be the same way. That you might consider to watch it. Well, it's the same thing in sports. Antonio Brown might certainly get you to consider watching a Raiders game. Aaron Rodgers would get you to consider watching a Green Bay game, a Drew Brees. Yet, in this world of, I want my numbers, I want the ball, I want the ball, I want my numbers, you can't get any of the numbers without your teammates. Antonio Brown, when Landry Jones was the quarterback, and when Josh Dobbs took over as quarterback, what were his numbers? What were his numbers? Josh Dobbs played against Oakland last year. How good was Antonio Brown? Disappeared. Antonio Brown could not make a play for the Steelers, and he made some great, great plays. But the possibility of making those plays couldn't happen unless an offensive line gave the quarterback enough time for those plays to develop. The quarterback had the ability to get the ball there and to see what was going on. Or another receiver cleared out the area to allow him to make the play. And in football, if there's one guy in practice that can't get the play for whatever reason, they've got to scrap it from the playbook. You need all 11 guys to execute. Even in a sport like baseball that has certain individual moments, I go back years ago, Pedro Martinez was with the Montreal Expos, and he threw a perfect game at Los Angeles. 9 innings, perfect game. Except, right? And the Expos defensively made defense. He didn't strike out 27, so they made plays from the field. Didn't strike out 27, they made plays from the field. And guess what? They didn't hit. The game was nothing at the end of 9. Then he lost the perfect game in the 10th. He was the focal point as the pitcher. Yet he couldn't win without his team. He's able to keep the perfect game through 9 because of his team defensively and also his own pitching ability. Let's not take that out. But he couldn't win because his team couldn't hit. The team game. Sidney Crosby is not out there 1-on-5. Alex Ovechkin's not 1-on-5. There are times I feel LeBron's out there 1-on-5 and still succeeding. But for the most part, he actually does need four other guys. Team sports is about winning. It's not about your numbers. You'll get your numbers. You'll get your numbers. But team sports is about we. It's not about me. I mean, that happens in a lot of businesses. Okay? Sean referenced Penn State football coming up. I'm going to look over. My teammate next to me is Jack Ham. Our teammate on the field is Derek Williams. Our teammate running the show is Bob Taylor. Our producer is Roger Corey. We can't do it. If any one of the five parts isn't working well, we can't do it right. This show, Sean. Oh, it's got my name on it. This show doesn't function without Sean. Come on. It doesn't. It doesn't function at any kind of high level without Sean Carey sitting there making this show function at a high level. It's got my name on it. But this is the ultimate we show right here. Right? And the sales staff does a great job of selling it. And the advertisers allow us to be on it. It is a team deal. It's Roger. This was Roger's idea. Roger's idea. Which then filtered down to me being, quote, the host of the show. A Sean Carey who is the engine on this show. And a sales staff that has allowed this show to thrive. Team. Yeah. My name. So what? Team. Everybody. Basketball. I look over. I got Dick Girardi. Whoa. All right, Bob Taylor. For a long time, we had the great Jeff Tarman. Hey, doesn't function without everybody. So even on those kind of scales, everybody needs, even though there might be a focal point, everybody needs in these situations to understand the value of every member of the team. And you wonder sometimes if Antonio Brown doesn't understand that. Give me the ball. Well, I'll get you the ball if I got time. I'll get the ball if you're open. I'll get you the ball if he clears the area out. Oh, and by the way, when we run the ball, you better block. Antonio Brown's not a good blocker. He has no interest in doing that. Hines Ward can block. Larry Fitzgerald can block. Trying to think. Everyone talked about Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. Whatever. Believe it or not, he was actually a good blocker. Stick his nose in there. It's interesting that Cowher brought up in this conversation. Of course, he brings up Hines Ward. Right? He also brought up Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison. He said Cowher, who coached during the more formative years of fantasy football, had the luxury of coaching Hines Ward, an unselfish receiver, who put team success over his own individual success. While Ward did retire as Pittsburgh's career leader in catches, yards, and touchdowns, he did not compile the same type of numbers as Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison. And, of course, all of them compiled numbers that put them into the Hall of Fame. A distinction that Ward is yet to achieve. Yet, let's check this scoreboard. Owens, Moss, and Harrison have combined for what, Sean?
Let's see. I will say, okay, who are the three one more time?
Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison. By the way, Marvin Harrison, you know, was not a diva receiver, but okay. But he does have, but he, Cowher brought his name up. So Owens, Moss, and Harrison have combined.
I want to say, I want to say, well, one Super Bowl.
Yes.
Okay.
How many does Hines Ward have?
Two.
Yeah. And a Super Bowl MVP. The name of the game, in terms of the game itself, and I know everybody has to get paid, I understand that. But the name of the game is to win. You throw Chad Johnson in there. I mean, he had. So Johnson, Owens, Moss, okay? They've combined for none. None. It's a team game. It's not a me game. Now, out of it, you do get stars, and stars are important to attracting eyeballs to a team game. I think I can see that any day of the week. I totally understand. It's part of the marketing. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. We're going to talk about Charlie Manuel's return to the Phillies dugout as hitting coach in the next half hour. We'll have a guest from the Washington Post, national baseball writer, who will tell us more about Charlie Manuel. Boy, it's if you talk with Chris Wheeler, and of course I've talked to Chris Wheeler a lot, he'll be the first to tell you he has so many Charlie Manuel stories. And I'm talking about Charlie Manuel stories, not like, oh, he's funny, ha-ha. I mean, I'm talking like really good stories about what a really good common sense baseball mind Charlie Manuel has. A really good common sense baseball mind. Don't overthink it. Now, is there anybody in the building that you know of that overthinks everything?
Who could it be now? I will say this. With Charlie now there, I would think there would be less tension now in the clubhouse. You'd hope, right?
Remember, too, the players have to adjust. They don't know him. Hey, I mean, you know, like they were working with somebody else. Now they have to get used to working with somebody else. So in midseason, there still is a little bit of a shock to it.